But tonight I want us to turn our attention to the Gospel of John chapter number 15 and two verses of Scripture that I fall back upon so many times in my life. Tonight, if you love Jesus, would you just say amen?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says in verse number 4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." I want you to underline a few of these phrases. In verse number 4, it says, "Abide in me." In verse number 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." And at the end of that verse, it says, "For without me, ye can do nothing." In these verses, I see three things. I wrote these down yesterday afternoon, and I want you to write them down. In these three verses, as the lovely Lord Jesus is speaking to His disciples, they are walking out of the upper room. They have come down from the upper room, and they are walking on the outskirts of the court of the Gentiles. They are making their way out, and above the court of the Gentiles, Herod the Great, when he built the great temple, when he restored it back and he built it back and added on to Nehemiah's temple, Ezra's temple, he carved a great vine and branches around the top. And today if you go there, you understand and you'll see that none of those things abide. You will not see any of the ornaments of Herod the Great. You will not see any of the artwork of Herod the Great. And it's an interesting picture of this exact phrase. The Jewish people sought and chose not to follow Jesus. And to this day, nothing that they had in that day abides. And I'm reminded of three things. Number one, I am reminded of my personal inability. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you all to think for one second that when you look at me, that I have anything good within me. There lies within this body no good thing. There lies within this being no ability whatsoever. You look at this man tonight and you understand that except the Spirit of God do anything through me, I am nothing more than a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. The best I am is an ugly man in a big boot. I am no, shut up, Mary Hallmarty. I am nothing more than just an ugly man in a big boot. I am nothing more than a nobody with a big old fat nothing on my soul. Amen. I can be nobody and I can be nothing. I can accomplish nothing and I can set out to be nothing. Now, y'all don't worry about Marty. He loves me and I love him. There's nothing I wouldn't do for him, and there's nothing he wouldn't do for me. So for the last several years we've known each other, we sit around and do nothing for each other. So it's going to be just fine, all right? I love Marty, and Marty loves me. Marty just loves Jesus like I love Jesus, and that's why he acts the way he acts. You'll be fine, and I'll be fine. But ladies and gentlemen, what Marty and I have realized, and what it took me a year and a half at this church to realize, it is not any ability of preach that can get it done. It's not any amount of song and singing that can get it done. It's not any amount of Tyler that can get it done. There's not amount of Bob that can get it done, because I am nothing more than a branch. And a branch can't bring forth fruit. And a branch, he cannot produce fruit. All the branch can do is it can bear fruit. Ladies and gentlemen, you must understand in the life that you live, you can't win people to Christ. You can't make people turn to Christ. You can't turn people's heart toward Christ. You have nothing inside of you. And the sooner that we realize that we have no power and that God has all the power, we will be in much better shape. The second thing that I see in this, I see a personal inability, but I see a powerful availability. Because he says this, he says, "If you abide in me and I abide in you," He said, you can bring forth not just a little bit of fruit, but he said much fruit. You realize when you go out to the apple tree, the orange tree, the peach tree, or if you go out to an olive tree, which is what Jesus would have been accustomed to, that olive trees are some of the ugliest trees in all of the world. They grow and they spurt and they span and they go all over. They're not like a beautiful cedar that goes up high to the sky. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not like a big pine that goes up high to the sky. It is an ugly, all-dicious, all-spacious, unbelievably grotesque-looking tree to look at. But do you realize something about a cedar tree? A cedar tree doesn't bear any fruit. A cedar tree may be beautiful to look at, but you will never live based off of the fruit of a cedar tree. You will never live based off of the fruit of a pine tree. You cannot live off of a pine cone. You can decorate your house at Christmas and put it in your Christmas tree, but when it comes down to rubber meeting the road and your belly gets hungry, you're not going to be able to put syrup on a pine cone and eat it. But honey, that olive tree, although it may not be attractive, although it may not have any good looks about it, it has a fruit growing off of its vines. It has a fruit that it's bearing. I feel God on this thing the more I get into it. It has fruit on its vine that although it is not attractive, it is not goodly to look upon, it bears a fruit. And have you ever noticed that the child of God that God seems to use the most, they may not be the most eloquent. They may not be the most attractive. They may not have the most dignity and they may not have the most education. But there is something that they do have that nobody else has, and you know what it is? They are hooked into Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no amount of education that you can get that will take the place. I shouldn't do that. I did that one other time and it put me in this boot. I'm not going to do that again. Lord Jesus, if you'll help me not to do that again, I won't do that again. But ladies and gentlemen, you cannot replace a child of God that will get into the Holy of Holies with the good God of eternity. A man that has a PhD, a man that has an MD, a man that has an educational doctorate, he may have all the degrees like a thermometer, but he will not be able to change a soul. But you get you an old backwoods preacher that has stood in the Holy of Holies with God and has spent time with Jesus Christ on his face before a thrice holy God. You get that man up in a pulpit. You get that woman behind a piano, honey, and they will reach down where a doctor's degree cannot reach. They will go where an education cannot reach. They'll go down to the soul of a human being. Why? Because they are hooked into the vine. And let me remind every young preacher, let me remind every young deacon, let me remind every young Sunday school teacher, let me remind every young Christian. It does not matter what you know until you know the one that gives the knowledge. It does not matter how much you have until, I'm sorry Jesus, I'm trying all I can, but honey, I'm feeling good tonight. It does not matter how much you have until you know the good giver of eternity, Jesus Christ. You get you alone with God somewhere and get you a whole truckload of glory down in your goozle, and God will do with you what you cannot do with yourself. But there's a third thing that I see. I see a promised capability. Because sometimes, brothers and sisters, you'll come to a wall. You'll come to something you cannot do in yourself. And you'll say, God, how can I do that? You ever wonder about that little branch on the edge of that tree? Whenever springtime comes and that comes along and it says, I don't know how to produce fruit. I don't know how to bear an apple. I don't know how to bear an orange. I don't know how to make an olive. I believe the bird lands on that little branch every now and again. And that bird comes down with a sweet song from the sky. And it says, Mr. Branch, don't you understand? You can't bear the fruit. Mr. Branch, you can't produce the fruit. Mr. Branch, all you've got to do is stay hooked in to the vine. All you've got to do is stay hooked in to the life-giving flow that resonates from deep within that tree. and the sap that flows from that tree, it will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. I believe that little branch waving out in the wind says, Mr. Bird, how do you know? I believe that bird says, honey, the reason I know is because I was on a tree over yonder not long ago, and that tree was a bearing fruit. And I asked that branch, what is the secret? Is it the secret of having branches turned a certain way? Is it a secret of having this or having that? Is it a secret of having a certain kind of bark? Is it a secret of having a certain kind of exterior? I believe that branch told that bird, Mr. Bird, it has nothing to do with what's on the outside. It has everything to do with what you've got going on the inside. And when you're hooked up on the inside, it's going to show on the outside. And when you get hooked up on the inside, it's going to start bearing fruit on the outside. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you, lest you go home and begin the process of worshiping a man. I am not the one that builds the church. I am not the one that saves the soul. I am not the one that gets the message. I am not even the one that has the unction of God. I am nothing more than just a vessel. I have my branches turned up to the sky and say, oh God of eternity, if you will but have mercy on me, if you will but shine on me one more time, oh God, I will do your blessed will. Honey, I tell you tonight, I can't save a soul. I can't build a church. But I can get hooked up to the good God of eternity, who is a church builder, and He is a soul saver, and He is a life changer, and He is a grace giver, and He is a mercy dispenser, and He is a good giver. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, get hooked in. And I have tried with all of my being to get hooked into God, and I have seen God do great and mighty things.
Yes, amen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight I want you to understand, over the last 9 months, we have had an issue at the church. Space has been the issue. Even tonight, you look around, and there is a great number in the house of God, people sitting in the overflow room tonight. But over the last 9 months, I have prayed to God, God, what shall I do? What shall we do? I had no direction, and so we didn't do anything. And let me remind you in your life, that when you don't know where to go and what God wants you to do, stand still, child, and see the salvation of the Lord. I had no direction, therefore, I didn't do anything. So what did we do? Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So what did we do? We began to seek. And do you know what God did? God answered. So therefore, we didn't have direction. We didn't do anything. We asked for direction and He gave us direction. Therefore, when He gives direction, we will be obedient to the heavenly call. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know a lot.
Amen.
Tonight, I'm telling you, Marty, I'm going to kill you before this whole thing's over with. You are killing me tonight. And I got enough men with guns and they are itching to pull the trigger. So you better quiet it on down over there, my brother.
Amen.
Here's some things I do know. Number one, I do know that God is not through. You must fight the temptation tonight to look around and say, isn't this good enough? You've got to fight the temptation tonight to want to sit on our blessed assurance and say, this is fine. We've got the place filled. Isn't it good? We've got money in the bank. Isn't it wonderful? Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you, we must fight the disease of apathy. We must fight saying, God, we're good enough. Ladies and gentlemen, aren't you glad that somebody that gave you the Lord Jesus Christ's message, they didn't give up right before they came to you? Aren't you glad somebody didn't say right before they came to you, it's good enough? No, 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 no. There was a child of God that was hungry. There was a child of God that was yearning. There was a child of God that wanted to see just one more soul, just one more life change, just one more thing done. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not through. We still have a great commission. Let me give you these verses. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19 and 20, Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Mark 16 and 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24, 46 and 47, the Bible says, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Matthew 9, 37, then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. He will send forth laborers into his harvest. Acts 1 and 8, the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, we, because we have a full church tonight, our great commission has not ceased to be. We still have been given a command by God to go to the farthest reaches of our expanse and to give the message of the gospel to every living, breathing soul that needs the hope of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, people are still hungry for the word of the living God. You say, preacher, why is it churches are dying? Churches are dying not because God has died, but because people have kicked the life and the resurrection out. And when you kick life and resurrection out, death and disease will always inhabit and invade the church of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to understand something tonight. The second thing I know is this. Space is a good problem to have. Of all the problems you could have in a church, thank God a space issue is our problem. It could be a financial issue. It could be a moral issue. It could be a doctrinal issue. So what we've got to understand tonight, I remember I asked Joe Arthur, I called him, I said, Brother Joe, I said, I need your help. I said, there ain't nowhere to put people. We had four families walk out the other day because we couldn't find seats for them. I said, Brother Joel, what am I going to do? I said, what am I going to do? You got to understand, normally he's the nervous one, and normally I'm just kind of sitting there listening. He said, son, you know what you need to do? He said, get out a pen. I said, all right. He said, you ready to write down? I said, yes, sir, I'm ready to write it. He said, number one, he said, get on your knees. I said, all right, number one, get on my knees. He said, number two, look up to the God of heaven. I said, number two, yes, sir, look up to the God of heaven. He said, number three, after you're on your knees looking up to the God of heaven, spread your hands out to the heavens. I said, yes, sir, hang on, Brother Joe. I'm writing as fast as I can. I said, get down on my knees. I said, I look up to the God of heaven and I raise my hands. He said, now say, Lord. I said, Lord. He said, say, thank you, Jesus. I said, hold on, Brother Joe. I said, I didn't get that. He said, my brother, of all the problems that your church could be having, thank God that this is the worst problem that you are dealing with. I hung up the phone with him, got so mad, then the Holy Spirit kicked me in the teeth and said, son, that old man of God is absolutely right. I lifted my hands up to the heavens and I said, oh God, as an 18-year-old boy, I sat there in my little bedroom and said, Jesus, I'll preach the gospel if you'll just give me one person to preach it to. And honey, week in and week out, he's filled the house of God up with hungry souls that are longing for a true word from God. I lift my hands up to the heavens and I say, Lord Jesus, I say thank you, I say glory to God, I say blessed be the name of the Lord, I say high and holy is the good God of eternity. But number four, a space problem is still a problem, and it can be a deterrent to hungry people. You say, how do you know? Well, my wife and I, we're like you. We get hungry. I know it's hard to believe that she eats anything, but she really does eat a whole lot. And honey, we've got a few little favorite restaurants that we like to go to. And every now and again, we get the hankering to go to Chick-fil-A. I know that's a shock to so many of you. Now, honey, I'm going to tell you, I get hungry. And I get ill when I get hungry. I'm like most men. You that are going to be getting married soon, let me tell you the secret to a happy marriage. Are you ready? Write this down. You're going to think I'm lying, but I'm telling the truth. Some of you ladies will know. Number one, kiss him a lot and feed him often, and you'll be fine, all right? You'll be just fine in your marriage. Okay? We'll go into Chick-fil-A sometimes, and my worst nightmare on God's earth, my worst nightmare is when I pull up to Chick-fil-A and I see an activity bus in the parking lot. I pull up and I say, "Honey, baby, you think they're all eating here?" She said, "Maybe not. Maybe they're in the restaurant beside it, or maybe they're at the Bojangles." And I walk in, and to my dismay, 35 screaming adolescents are lined up in the line, and 35 more have taken up every table from Dan to Beersheba. Now listen, I'm hungry. I want food. I want it now. I'm angry because of my lack of food, but I can't eat there. Because number one, I'll never get a table. And number two, I'm hungry now. I don't care how much I like the food. I don't care how nourishing it is to my soul. I'm not standing around looking for something. I'm going somewhere else. It's the same in a church, brothers and sisters. People say, well, if they like the preaching good enough, they'll stay. If they like the singing good enough, they'll stay. Where are they going to stay? They're not going to sit on the ceiling. They got to be somewhere. So tonight, there's some other things that I know. Number four, I know, or number five, whatever number I'm on. I know that debt is not the will of God for the church of Jesus Christ. Debt is not the will of God for a church. Ladies and gentlemen, and therefore, since debt is not in our vicinity, we're not going to be able to afford, number one, to relocate right now. It's not our time to find another piece of property and buy another piece of property. Number two, since we don't have the money to relocate, we don't also have the money to blow out the walls and to build a big expansion onto the sides and build balconies and build this and build that. Because we're not going into debt for something that we cannot afford to do. You say, "Preacher, why not?" Here's why. What happens next Sunday if God tells us to take on 15 new missionaries? All because we've taken on debt, we can't afford 15 new missionaries. What if God comes up and says, "Boys, it's time to send young people to camp"? Well, if we're debt-ridden, we can't do it. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, "Owe no man anything." And by the grace of God, by the end of this year, if God continues to bless and move in the church, we will be debt-free by December the 31st by the grace of Almighty God. Amen. We're not going back into debt over this. So therefore, none of those things are an option for us. So tonight, once again, I will not try to sell you anything. I'll simply let God confirm it to you as He's confirmed it to me. So what is the will of God for our church? Well, the obvious answer is to add an extra service on Sunday morning. Now, I know many of you have bad experiences with extra services. So tonight, let me walk you through the extra service here at Church Street. Our current schedule on Sunday morning is 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. for morning worship, 6 p.m. for the evening worship. Our new schedule or updated schedule will look like this. It will be 8:45 will be the first morning worship time. 10 a.m. will be the Sunday school hour. 11 a.m. will be the second worship hour. And then 6 p.m. will be the evening worship hour. Now there are churches in the area that do multiple services. I understand that. I know that. I know many of you, how many of you, whether visiting or member, were or have been or been associated with a church that had multiple services on Sunday morning? That's what I figured. So let me put some minds at ease this evening. Can I put some minds at ease? I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to preach a minute. Number one, this is not about convenience. I don't give a flip if somebody wants to come worship at 8:45 because it's more convenient for them to go play golf after they get done worshiping. I don't really give a flip if they want to come 8:45 because they've got a whole day full of this and a whole day full of that. Ladies and gentlemen, my message tonight is simply we have a need and we must address a need. Number two, this is, and I'm going to hit a little backdraft right here, so I'm getting geared up for this thing, and I'm going to load both of my Gatling guns when I get ready for this. Number two, this is not about preference. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you that I am old-fashioned to the core. I came in old-fashioned, and I'm going to walk out old-fashioned. Amen. I came in preaching the King James Bible, and I'm going to walk out preaching the King James Bible. I came in listening to old-fashioned hymns, and I'm going to walk out that door singing and listening to old-fashioned hymns. I came in this door wearing a tie, and I'm going to walk out that door wearing a tie. I came into this church with my shoes strapped up, and they didn't have an open toe, and I'm going to walk right out that door with a closed-toe shoe on, tied up to my ankles, or tied up to whatever, or pumped up on my right leg, whatever it's in. Although, dear God, that is open toe, but you know what I mean, sweet Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, one service will not, cannot, and shall never be contemporary while the next one is old-fashioned. We'll come in on Sunday morning at 8:45 preaching the gospel, and we'll go out at 11 o'clock preaching the gospel. We'll shout at 8:45 and we'll shout at 11. We'll sing old-fashioned at 8:45 and we'll sing old-fashioned at 11. I want you to understand something about me. Let me cock and lock on this side and cock and lock on that side. There's not a contemporary bone in this old body of mine. I don't know what you've been told in the past by other preachers. I don't know what line or porridge you've been told by other preachers, but let me tell you what I am. Honey, I am an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, premillennial, King James reading, Bible believing, Bible preaching. I am a preacher of the old school. You say, preacher, do you like new guys? I don't know. I like all guys. I'm just telling you what I is. I'm old-fashioned to the core, and whatever I'm a part of, I'm going to be, and it's going to be old-fashioned to the core. You say, preacher, we want a contemporary church. Well, the doors are swinging the same way they were when you came in, and don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you of one thing tonight. If you want a contemporary, you say, we've got a band of people. They want a contemporary church. They want a contemporary service. Well, my wife and I and my mama, I can't speak to my stepfather, but I think he's going to go where my mama goes, and my babies, we're walking out the door. You can have my office. You can have my books. I'll take my Bible and I'll go down the road and I'll tell the people who want an old-fashioned gospel for a new day that the old-fashioned gospel still works. We're going to shout early and we're going to shout late. Now, I just want to put that at bay right quickly. It's going to be old-fashioned. It's going to be old-fashioned. It's going to be old-fashioned. It's going to be old-fashioned.
Amen.
We're going to start this. Well, let me address something else. Let me address the issue of unity. How in the world do you keep two different congregations unified? Well, number one, I can't keep you unified. You understand, there are churches today that have one service and they're split and splintered and divided more than anything in the world. You understand, it's not one service that unifies a church. You say, preacher, I'm not going to get to know everybody. Bless God, you don't know everybody now. Every week at lunch, my mama says, now who was this? Who was that over there? I said, I don't have a clue who they were. I've heard people say, preacher, we didn't get to know everybody when we had so many services. I said, really? How many people do you know in this church? Well, I said, that's right. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, a church gets bigger than 35 people. You're not going to know everybody. You're not going to know everybody in heaven. Why do you think you're going to be there for eternity? It's going to take that long to figure everybody's name out.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, you understand, it is not one service that unifies a church.
Right.
It is the Holy Spirit of God that unifies a church. And the reason churches divide and splinter is because the Holy Spirit is not there. And the reason that churches stay unified if they have 15 services is because the Holy Spirit is there. It has nothing to do with the amount of services that you have. When will we start this? Well, we're going to start it, and we've got to start it soon. We're going to give about 7.5 weeks of preparation time. We're going to start it on the first Sunday in July, July the 3rd. I have bounced back and forth with this. I had started at a later date. I had thought about an earlier date. But I felt confirmed in my heart this evening that we're going to start it July the 3rd. And we're going to start it that day. Now here's what we're going to do, church. I understand. I am not God. I am not perfect. I can make mistakes. So we're going to try this through the end of the year. If number one, if I don't like it, we're going to stop. Number two, If I notice that the church is losing the glory, if I notice in one service that it does not seem like God is moving like He's moving in the other service, then we're going to go back to the drawing board. Or if we notice that the church is not being blessed and more people aren't coming, I'm going to tell you, we have about 300 that come on Sunday morning now. If I notice in the first service I got 150, in the second service I got 150, I'm going to promise you, I'm going to squeeze y'all back in here like sardines, and I ain't going to kill myself preaching. We're going to see if God's blessing. If God's not blessing, here's the issue. And this is what we talked about with the deacons. We've lost no money. We start afresh and we start new and we go back to the drawing board. Ladies and gentlemen, how will the music be done? Well, number one, the music will be the same in both of the services in the morning. I'll preach the same message in both services unless God changes my mind. We give liberty for stuff like that. But tonight, I'm going to be honest with you. I have not decided on if I will ask the choir to sing in both services or if we'll rotate. I'm going to let the choir decide. I don't think it's fair for me to be a dictator and to tell you what you are and are not going to do. So in our next choir practice, we're going to talk about this thing. Now, if you want my personal opinion, this is what my personal opinion is. This is not gospel truth. This is my personal opinion. If you want to keep it the same, we need to commit to both. If you want to keep everything unified, everything the same, you've got to do it to both. Now, listen, I understand that's a lot. You've got young kids. Now, some of you old fogies, that ought not be a problem. Y'all up at the crack of dawn anyways. You may as well get your junk on and come on to church both services. But some of you got young children. And so I'm not going to determine and dictate to you what you can and cannot do and should and should not do. So we will decide on that. But if we don't, if the choir decides that they want to sing in one service and what we'll do in the other, this is what we'll do. What we will do is normally in our service we have the choir sing and then we have special singers provide a few special songs. What we'll do is we'll have those special singers, we'll have them do the specials in the one service, and we'll have the choir sing in the next, and I'll just preach longer, and that's what we'll do. That may change the choir's mind right there real quick. Amen. And here's what we'll do. We will do it together on that. How in the world will Sunday school be done? It'll be the exact same. It will. If you come to the 8:45 service, you'll just go to Sunday school at 10 and then leave or stay or do whatever you want to. If you come to the 11 o'clock, you'll just go to Sunday school at 10 and then stay for the 11 o'clock. Or come early, whatever you want to do. The Sunday school will be in the middle. How will the children's ministry on Sunday morning be done? I have bounced back and forth with this, but I do believe that in order to make sure that people are able to be ministered to the same in both services, I am going to ask, until God tells us otherwise, that if you have nursery in one service, you have nursery in the other service. If you have little toddler church in one service, we'll have little toddler church in the other service. If we have children's church in one service, we'll have children's church in the other service. And this is how it'll be. Because we've got more people that are going to volunteer now, there'll be more people coming into the church now. When it's your Sunday to teach, or it's your Sunday morning to work, or it's your Sunday morning to volunteer to help, you'll just know that Sunday I have two services to serve in. Now, we'll teach the kids the same lesson in the first one that we do in the second one. We'll teach the kids in the first one the same thing we do in the second one. The same with the nursery and same with the little church and the toddler's church and everything. How will the ushering and security be done? The same way. If you're scheduled for Sunday morning, you'll just know this week I have two services to cover. And you'll know next week if I have Sunday morning that I have two services to cover. How will the sound and the video work? The same way it is now. Except we'll put them on a schedule. If they don't want to be at both services, we'll rotate them on the schedule. So that way, if it's their Sunday to serve, they serve in two services and vice versa. I am going to require that if you draw any type of paycheck from the church and are a church staff member, you must attend all services. The morning, both services, Sunday school, and the evening service. And of course, prayer meeting will not be changed. Now, brothers and sisters, this is what we've got to understand. This is only going to be a short-term fix. It's just a matter of time before God fills up both services. Amen. It's just a matter of time before He keeps saving. And if He keeps saving people like He has, it's just a matter of time before these are filled both. So here is what we've got to do. We have got to, number one, pay off the debt we have now. Once we pay off the debt we have now, we will begin the process of saving in a building fund. Once we have 75% of whatever we're going to need to build, we will at that point bring to the church what we need to do about building. Now, since we have got to do that, and I don't know how long it will take to fill this up. God may decide it takes 15 years. No, it ain't going to take no 15 years. We're going to drop this thing quicker than that. But because we know if God is going to do something in a year, we have to start preparing today. So therefore, tonight, I'm introducing to the church an exploratory building committee. Beginning next Sunday, if you would like to be on this committee, you can submit your name to a deacon. You can give your name to one of the deacons, and what this will do, listen, I've heard people tell me all the time, they come up to me every Sunday, preacher, let's just knock out the walls. Well, I wish it was that simple. But we live in the liberal city of Greensboro, North Carolina. And just for kicks, I went to the city building committee. And I said, I'm thinking about adding some more seating to the church. What would that entail? They said, well, sir, reverend, I love it when they call me reverend. They said, reverend, the first thing you have to address before you do anything is you're going to have to put in a $40,000 to $50,000 retention pond because you've got to catch all the oil and the runoff from all the cars that are going to be there. I said, thank you, sir, for your time. May the good Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you. I called one of the men in our church, got a paving company. I said, what in the name of all that is good is a retention pond? I thought it was a place where the church went fishing in between the services. I didn't know what it was. I said, man, what is this? And it hit me very quickly that I am trudging into an area that I am not equipped for. But God has equipped some of you men and ladies in this church with real estate experience, with architectural experience, and with building experience. Over the next year, this committee is going to begin the process of researching and meeting with builders and meeting with architects. We're not going to build anything. They're not going to buy anything. They're not going to approve to build anything. But they're going to meet with these different people and get ideas so that when the time comes, number one, we'll know how much it's going to cost and we will have the money saved. And number two, so that when the time comes that God fills it up, at that time we don't say, oh my, what are we going to do now? We'll already be ready to go with the next step. You say, preacher, why don't you do it? Here's why. My wife and I, over the last several months, we have fought the devil more than I ever anticipated fighting the devil. And what I understand, my brothers and my sisters, is that the bigger a church gets, the more time I need to spend in prayer and the ministry of the Word. I don't have time to meet with builders. I don't have time to meet with architects. I got to meet with God.
That's right. Amen.
I don't have time for contractors. I've got to meet with the architect of eternity.
That's right.
And I've got to get a word from God. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to conclude with this. Don't put your Bibles up. Don't put your stuff up. I'm going to tell you tonight, you can buck me. You can fight against it. You can decide not to go with it. That is your right. But myself and these blessed deacons believe this is the will of God for this place. You can fight God all you want. You can buck against it. And I promise you, you'll win. God's not going to fight with a backslidden back. I promise you that He ain't going to fight with you.
Right.
But if you start fighting, I promise you the blessing of God will pick up and it will walk out.
Amen.
I promise you. But as for me and my house,
that's right. Amen.
We will serve the Lord.
Amen.
And we'll follow God.
Amen.
I don't know what God has planned. But I can promise you I'm going to follow Him and not dictate to Him what we're going to do. So as for me and my house, we will serve God.
Amen.
And one day my boy is going to come up. He's going to look at his daddy. And he may say, that's my dad failed a couple of times. But he's not ever going to be able to say, my daddy, he didn't follow God. So we will serve God. I want to know, are you and your family, are you with us?
Amen.
That's my question. So then let the people say together, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's come around this altar. Brother Scott, will you play something for us? I can't build it. We need men and women. We need men and women that will follow God. We need men and women that will follow His way, His will. Would you grab your loved one, your family, your kids, right there in your pew if you have to, and say, Lord, I'll follow Jesus. We'll follow God. God of eternity, blessed Father, we come in the holy and the righteous name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we seek your face. We seek your understanding and we seek your principles. More than anything, we seek your power. For Lord, you are God, and besides you, there is none else. And so, Lord, tonight I'm pleading with you. I'm asking you, oh God, will you please knock down the walls that we're trudging around? Give us this city for the glory of God. Give us this city, we pray, for the name of Christ. We pray that drug dealers will go out of business. I'm asking you to shut down strip clubs and ABC stores. I'm asking you to build a beacon of hope and grace on the side of Church Street. I bless your holy name. And I will praise you. And I will thank you. And I will give you glory for who you are. And when my body lays in my casket, with mine eyes closed in death and my lips sealed by the wax of the undertaker, my soul will rise to meet you and bow in your presence. And I will say, it's all because of you, Lord Jesus. I will not go back. I will press forward. I worship you, my God.